All right, Marcellus Wiley will join us here in just a moment. Monday night, our Packers, Lions, right here on TSN Radio, watching on TSN. All right, let me run off these stats, okay? Two different seasons. Both of these quarterbacks, their team started 2-0. All right, so both of them got wins in the first 2 weeks. The first guy's stats, he went 56 for 86, 655 yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. All right, pretty good stat line. The second guy went 50 for 75, 568 yards, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Which guy do you think is better? Which stat line would you take?
Brady is the first guy. That's who I want.
Brady is the first guy in 2021. That is this year's Tom Brady. 2-0, 56 for 86, 655
yards. Let me guess.
Yards.
It's Brady last year, the other one.
It's Brady in 07.
Wow.
That's when he won the MVP. They won 16-0, and he had 50 touchdowns. So 14 years ago, Tom Brady in his first 2 weeks, both wins for the Patriots, 568 yards, 5 touchdowns, 2 picks. This season, 14 years later, 2-0 start, 655 yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 picks.
Wow.
14
Impressive.
Years later, he was 30 in his prime, 50 touchdowns, MVP, him and Randy Moss, Belichick, just terrorizing everyone. Statistically better, just as many wins today. That's how good this guy is. Here's our longtime NFLer, NFL analyst. You can see him on FS1, Marcellus Wiley. Is it fair to say that Brady is as good as he was in 2007? Is he as good today as he was 14 years ago?
Yeah, it's easy to say that. You just brought up some of the numbers that support that as well. When we saw him in 2007, everyone was excited just because he had Randy Moss, and we knew when he had a prime receiver like a Randy Moss that there was the potential to do something explosive and something record-breaking, and he did with Randy Moss. But don't forget that Tom Brady calculated going to Tampa Bay, even though they had a losing franchise. He knew that they had two receivers that were 1,000-yard receivers. He knew that they had a strong running game and a good young defense. He knew that they had a coach that had won 2 times as the Super Bowl champion as a coordinator. Like, he didn't just land in Tampa Bay. He arrived in Tampa Bay with calculation. And now we're seeing him once again on the MVP pace. The thing that I love about Tom Brady is playing against him from the younger years, the year that he won the Super Bowl his first time in his second year in the NFL, Tom Brady was average to above average, but he continued to mature, continued to grow and evolve. So saying that Brady now, it's kind of tough to say, but he's a late bloomer. Peyton Manning was clearly better at the position early, but didn't have the team results, the team success. Tom Brady wasn't as great. He leaned on the defense. He leaned on the special teams, but he continued to improve. He's having a battle with Father Time right now that he's winning because he is a late bloomer. But, yeah, 07 Brady, 2010 Brady, 2017 Brady, all MVPs, and it looks like 2021 going to be a little more of the same.
Marcellus, before we had you on, we were talking about the taunting and the nonsense and how people hate it. We always give the NFL credit for making the product so good. We love watching it. Can you see there being an adjustment on these stupid penalties? I'm kind of old school. I don't like it to get out of hand, but some of the stuff just seems like nonsense. You think they'll address it?
Well, the NFL is pliable, and they always address stuff in the off season, not so much in season, but certainly in the off season. With the competition committee, they do a great job of just reading the response to their product and making adjustments. On the other end of the spectrum, you have baseball. No matter what we say as consumers or viewers, they usually want to stick to the course of whatever the purists think in their sport. But that's not football. So, yeah, if enough people make attention of it, enough of an outcry, they will certainly address it. But it's funny, I went to a game this weekend, Pop Warner Young Football League game, as well as my son's soccer league. And I understand what the NFL is trying to do in protecting its brand and what it transmits to the younger players of its game. I saw six-year-olds acting just like they were Ronaldo and running around the pitch and diving at the goals and just celebrating in the look at me mentality. And it's cute, it's fun, it's laughable, but it's also real that what the pros do, the kids will do. So I think the NFL knows its power. It knows its influence. So there's going to be some pushback even from the fans who want to see a little more excitement. And there's going to be pushback from the league in saying we don't want to have that influence on the tomorrow's stars.
With Marcellus Wiley, less surprising injury yesterday. Tua going out early for Miami or Carson Wentz going out late for Indianapolis?
Oh, man, great way of asking that. Both of them seem jinxed at different levels, though, different ways. Like, Carson Wentz's level of voodoo and jinx is, like, second to none. Like, you feel bad for the guy. You wonder what he did in his previous life to have this life of experience. Because, yeah, he got paid. Yeah, he's Carson Wentz. So, oh, boo-boo and woe is me. But, wow, talk about a guy who can't just stay the course in terms of being available and healthy for his team. He sprained both ankles. I'm going to say that again. He sprained not one, but both of his ankles in the same play. That's insane. That's almost unheard of. So I would have to say that Carson Wentz, you can almost see it coming now. But with Tua, that was an unfortunate play. Unblocked defender just coming and knocking your head off. Next thing you know, you're getting carted away. It's kind of crazy. But both of the guys certainly have some exorcism to do in the offseason. They got to get these demons off of them, man, because it's crazy to see how many times they find themselves hurt.
When you're sitting on the bench or on the sidelines and, you know, the game's on the line and it's really on the foot of your kicker, what is your thought process? Because we were talking earlier about Greg Joseph missing in Minnesota, and, you know, it's a 37-yarder, should pretty much put it through the uprights and deliver a win, and you've battled all game long, and really it comes down to one play and he misses it. What is the thought process? Or, you know, do players really hate the kicker or love the kicker? Because he always seems like he's on an island and he either delivers or doesn't.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's such a weird dynamic and relationship with the kickers. I love kickers just because I know there's going to be a time and place where I'm going to need a kicker. I'm going to pray to the kicker gods, and I'll be that guy that you always see on the sidelines, you know, clenching his fist, biting the towel, on his hands and knees, begging for a kick to go through. So I always respect that relationship even before you get to that moment. But that's the way the ball bounces. And we all got to remember that the football is not round and neither are human beings' feet. It's like it goes in weird directions or weird places all the time. I was at SoFi Stadium yesterday going to the Chargers-Cowboys game, and watching Greg Zuerlein, Young Jeezy as they call him, kick a 56-yarder through the uprights. Now, I remind people, the week before, he couldn't make a kick, it seemed like. He basically lost the game for them in terms of the extra point he missed, and he missed two kicks. One was 60 yards, but I digress. Point being, you better love those kickers because there's going to be a moment where you're going to pray to the kicker guys and you're going to need them. So that's the way the ball bounces, and we know in football – that is not always even.
With Marcellus Wiley, what a ball game it was last night. What a win for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Man, they needed it against the Kansas City Chiefs. And it feels like when the Chiefs lose, that's always the story. You know, the story is how did Kansas City not win? And really it was that the Ravens didn't give him the opportunity. I love going for it on 4th and 1. It was the only play. Like, you cannot give the ball back to Mahomes, even without timeouts from his own, you know, 1 yard line. He's going to put them in a position to win that game. But for you, is the story Mahomes finally throwing a pick in September and the Chiefs losing, or was it Lamar overcoming 2 bad picks early and finding a way to win with Baltimore last night?
Oh, certainly Lamar winning, persevering, showing that resilience. And more so, who spots the Chiefs a pick six and 2 interceptions and still says we're going to catch you and win the game?
Right.
That's just amazing to see that this team that needed some confidence against that opponent, like the Ravens needed to beat the Chiefs and beat them before it really mattered in the playoffs, right? Just to finally say, hey, we've exercised that demon in our existence. The craziest thing about it is them spotting them those interceptions and those points and finding a way to win. I saw a stat that is amazing, that quarterbacks that have put themselves in that predicament have done it 588 times, multiple picks and a pick six, 588 times in the last 20 years. And they've lost 500 of those games. And that's not against the Chiefs. That's against normal teams, let alone your Chiefs. You give them that opportunity to get that lead on you. The front-running, fast-going Chiefs, and you still catch them. What I'm seeing from the Ravens this year, despite all the injuries, they still have that strong running game, in part because Lamar Jackson is still healthy. But more importantly, you're seeing flashes of brilliance in the passing game. Not consistently. No, it's not the Tampa Bay Bucks. No, it's not even the Chiefs. But you're seeing moments where, hey, oh, man, Hollywood Brown caught a touchdown pass. Oh, Sammy Watkins had a good week one. And you continue that and finally find balance in this offense. Now you're going to see something special off the Ravens.
So with that being the case, how does that apply to what we're going to see at a number 12 tonight? Aaron Rodgers at home, you know, the conventional wisdom would say massive response, dummies the Lions tonight, you know, 400 yards, four touchdowns, Lambeau leap. But I don't think you can apply conventional wisdom to the offseason that he just had, what the reception will be like for him tonight. I don't know what it's going to be like at Lambeau. And how to get a read and evaluate his mental state. Because I think that's more what's at play here tonight, Marcellus. His physical attributes are still there. He's got all the tools. But if he's 99% committed instead of 100%, that's going to be an issue. I think tonight is going to say a lot about the true feelings and the mental state of Aaron Rodgers. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, great assessment. When someone says that they're 50-50 retired or 50-50 going to play, it's never 50-50. And I know it's a lazy statement and it's easy to digest, but it should be difficult for Aaron Rodgers to respond tonight if he wasn't really 50-50. He may have been 90-10 retired. He may have been something different than just, part of me's in, part of me's out. And we're going to be able to find out tonight, because your response to adversity is really your true test of your commitment. We all fall down in life. We all fall down in sports, certainly playing pro football. You have so many bad plays. It's your response to that adversity that we know greatness and we know Aaron Rodgers to do. But if he doesn't respond, then we know he wasn't 50-50. He's more out than in. And that's going to be crazy to really understand and to see with our own eyes. I would bet the house that he responds. One, he's playing Detroit. But two, it's Aaron Rodgers. And he has had games that were bad before, and he's always responded, including last year. People forget against Tampa Bay, he had a worse passer rating that game. He came back the next game with a 131 rating, four touchdowns, no interceptions. So I expect Aaron Rodgers to go out there and respond, but it's going to be telling if he doesn't, because that means he really had more than just one foot out the door, maybe his mind and his heart as well.
Well, it's a big one tonight. Week two, Monday nighter. Can't wait for it. Enjoy the game, buddy. Enjoy week three. We'll do it again this time next week.
All right, guys. Take care up there. Let's do it.
There he is, Marcellus Wiley from FS1, longtime NFLer. And I think that is what is on the line tonight.